Today would I'll just be doing three things, elaborating on some things, repeating certain things, and putting out things I've shared before, so that we can all listen. The essence of this, I remember years ago I read, I don't think I said this at the beginning, but I've done this series before, quite some years ago. I read a book by Dr. Fred Price, Faith, Foolishness, and Presumption. And that was the title. Basically, looking at how sometimes we make assumptions or presumptions, and we think it's faith. One of the key things Brother Hagin taught is that faith begins, Kenneth Hagin now, faith begins where the will of God is known. It's not a grope in the dark. You must be certain that you are acting on the truth of the word of God that you understand. So basically, he went into a couple of things in that book. It's a book, actually. I bought it twice. I remember I bought the first one at D Cross Mission at Shikweolu here, 1994, I think. D Cross Mission, Faith, Foolishness, and Presumption. It must be 94 or 5. Then the second one, I bought it at Ipfi Music. Ipfi Music used to be just beside the Cross Mission on the same Shikweolu. I think it's 168. They used to buy books there. Then after a while, we now got Madison Media, which used to be at Isolo, Sele. Then, yeah. Then Madison Media moved to Jibowu here, but that was later on. So Faithfulness and Presumption was a book that, you know, got many of us who were so excited about believing God and found out that sometimes we're just excited. We're not necessarily walking by faith in the Word. And usually where that error comes in is where we think that natural things are against God's will. You know, like somebody was talking about a testimony in church. And that's why I think we need to do a series to some believers, how to keep testimonies. The person said, to the shame of doctors. What do you mean by that? The doctor gave you an advice, professionally speaking, doesn't mean that what the doctor said was evil. Simply meant that that's what in the natural, you know. And I said, to the shame of doctors. Some people say things like, my banker called me. And I said, God's going to disgrace you. Now imagine if you're a banker. And you're saying, I'm so sorry, you. Or if the security officer of your estate says, please, at night, ensure you lock your gate. Keep quiet. He that keepeth Israel shall never snuff man or sleep. The guy said, I'm part of Israel too. So I think that's the area that we usually assume that it's faith. And I think one of the things I learned from a friend of mine way back was that he said that having strong will is not necessarily faith. Rather, faith begins where the will of God is known. So in Matthew 13, we began to see that 34 and 35, that for scriptures to use parables, it means there must be a connection between the natural, right, and the supernatural. There must be an intersection. It doesn't mean they are the same, but there was a common ground found. We could be principles, common ground found, which is principles. For example, when you look at leadership, let's talk about that anyway. You see, the principles there are the same. Jesus, for example, was talking about the parable of the sower. And he used something you could understand. If you sow a seed into the ground, some will fall on a hard ground, some by the wayside, some amidst storms, and some on a good ground. Every farmer will comprehend that. But he says that that is also applicable in spiritual things. So if there's a principle you can find in the natural and in the supernatural, it's a principle you have to pay attention to. Look at, for example, many times in Matthew, it says, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man. And if you follow the Greek, I don't speak less of Greek in this series, you find out the word used there is similar. That is, the kingdom of heaven is similar to a man. Then it describes human activity, which means they mirror each other. So you cannot be spiritual and not know those basic principles. That's the essence of the parable. And look at the parable. The word parable is another word for proverb. So in Proverbs 1, parables actually means proverbs. Psalm 78 verse 2, I open my mouth in a parable and utter dark sayings of old. And in Proverbs 1 and verse 6, to understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. It's interpretation. The words of the wise and dark sayings. So God uses the words of the wise to explain the things of his kingdom. The whole book of 31 chapters contains the words of the wise. Somebody asked me one day, he said, sometimes when you are preaching, you use proverbs. And I listen a lot. When, in fact, if you converse and you drop a wise saying, I say, please repeat it and I'll take notes. A whole lot. Because when I was growing up, my parents didn't exactly give us a Yoruba training. We were just speaking English like anything. That's why I say, they said to one person, they said I should go, you know, and some stuff like that. But by the time I was, I think, in secondary school, I didn't even know how to speak Yoruba very well. So I now made it a decision. I was going to learn it and listen. And one of the things I found were good, wise sayings. I think one of the simplest things I did was to listen to Ebenezer Obey well, who sang a lot in those, and you learned from that. You just learned simple things, you know, and the scriptures made use. Jesus even used a proverb. It says, a prophet is not without honor, except in his own household. That's not from the Bible. That's an everyday proverb. A dog returning to his vomit, right? It's an everyday proverb. You know, evil communication corrupts good manners. It's an everyday proverb. It wasn't something that was an inspired saying. Rather, they were inspired to use it. So, which means that there is a connection between a spiritual person and natural principles. And we must come to that point where we're not naturally stupid because we want to be spiritually sound. They are not opposites. So the place of common sense, therefore, is not like common sense and logic is not unbelief. I thought we said that, right? Common sense and logic is not equal to unbelief. So last week, we started looking at, or we saw this, that Matthew's gospel, and that's about marriage. Matthew's gospel, actually it was Luke 20. And verse 34. The children of this world marry and are given in marriage. And we just said, we looked at the meaning of that. That means marriage is an earthly thing. And I think one of the things why people are usually confused is because of the way the church has come to use it. Don't forget that marriage ceremonies are recent. They are not found, they were not given any spiritual connotation either in the Old or New Testament. It was when the Catholic Church decided to use it that way and formalize it, and as a basis of accountability and formality, that was when marriage ceremonies came up. Then having, and you know, there's a way we can spiritualize natural things. Just begin to pray, you know, and put something on it, put candle. Your head will just go. And your people now, I say, I stood before God, and start having marital vows. It's nothing wrong with marriage. Someone was asking me recently, he said, a woman of God said, don't say till death do us part. Whether you say it or not. Does it change it? That for richer, for poorer, no. So for, well, when we used to conduct, and if I still do, I use it. We say, we stand together against sickness, against that. You know, fine. You know. But those who said in sickness and in health, they are basically saying you are committed to each other. No, no, don't say that. Don't. All those ones don't matter. The point is, what those who crafted that oath were just saying, look, be there for one another through all seasons. And that's really the essence of, not just marriage, every giving relationship. If the world people will say, I have your back. But I think the reason why that oath is a bit problematic is because people preach, unrealistic things. I'm sure the woman who said it, she didn't have that motive. She was just saying, be positive. Fine, be positive. But in being positive, don't deny, certain realities. And that goes for what it is. So, people get married, human beings. That is why nobody gets married, and because he's a Christian, or he got married as an unbeliever, when he's a Christian, No, I think some people like it, to come back and say they are renewing their vows. For me, I think there seems to be possible things. Renew your vows, then they buy a new ring, and I say, okay, you don't 10 years, it's next year, it's another ring, and go and spend money. So it doesn't change anything. But it's good, because ceremonies are fine. Anyway, so people get married, and which means that we have things in common with the unsaved, which is marriage. The natural, we all share it in common. So look at some basic things that are just what they are. How much of faith do I need in my relationships? Everywhere I need faith. Okay? How much of common sense? They are not opposing each other. Okay? They work together. Like I said, God made the natural things, and he made the natural things for us to use them. And so we must have the proper sense in the way that we use both the natural and the supernatural. Okay. So, let's look at faith. Faith is, in every relationship we use faith. Faith in God, faith in my partner, our faith in God. Of course, I've heard his word. He says to marry, and I'm married. Then, faith in my partner is also important, that I believe the best of you. Lord, believe the best of every person. Every relationship demands faith. I believe in you. We also have faith in the marriage itself. But we mustn't make some presumption. There are some presumptions that are foolish. Which is, for example, the first thing about married people, though I think it depends on, but I think it's normal, is there's attraction, right? Attracted by something. Some are attracted by your religiosity. Some are attracted by your, somebody was telling me one day, saying, no, Pastor, I don't really look at all those things. I'm psychosexual. You never go and go good things and, become me. So by the time I saw some things that the person eventually, who the person wanted to date. You're just fooling yourself like the mother of twins. I said the second twin is in London. It's not like that. Yeah, yes, this is obvious. So no, not like that. You're a psycho. And you got somebody with this good car, good job, fine guy. Psycho. Psychony. So, there are things that you shouldn't be foolish about. One of them is beauty. Beauty never lasts always. I think that's clear. Being handsome, humor, all those things. I beg. Beauty will fade. It will. I know you still like to tell your wife you're the most beautiful man in the world. Those are lies God accepts. He doesn't see their lies. Just say you're the most beautiful. No, nothing. I'm not looking at anybody but you. God just laughs and looks away. He thinks, this are not, Jesus didn't have to die for this one. It's not a sin. Sex appeal also will never last always. That's the truth. Even many things you like today, they go with age. So it's just the fact. And that is why the wrongest way to build love and relationship is infatuation. Somebody rightly says something I want to read. I'm trying to get the quote, because I'm going to just read a quote. Said, infatuation marks insecurity, immaturity, and incompatibility. Infatuation is a way to cover that you are insecure, and you are immature, and you are incompatible. Now, the extreme is to think that sex appeal or natural attraction is not good. No, it is. But the most priority, it can be the basis. And that is why when people are like that, prior to marriage, they are always pulled to have sex and fall into sex, because that is basically infatuation. So it marks insecurity and immaturity and incompatibility. And you must therefore have your emotions under control so that you are not tagging along in a mere infatuation feeling. So not that those are going to fade away. Beauty in handsome, those things will go. Go and see some folks and say, I married you, your belly was not like this. What's happening? That is the man now. I mean, many people develop pot belly. I don't want to mention my friends, so they won't think I put them on the spot. But I won't talk about myself. But you notice that this is not the you. There's been a metamorphosis. Some have tried. They've remained the same. And, I mean, God's been gracious. And you have women too who remain the same. When you have children, for example, you don't expect the person to remain the same. Try it. So those are things that will fade away. You know, I like humor. I like going out, cinema. See. How many movies do you want to watch? Yeah. Those things cannot be the basis of compatibility. No. They can't. I love to say things like, I mentioned my father, who was a diehard Arsenal fan. Diehard. We used to light candle together, Wenger together. And he was an adult. And that thing pained me. I couldn't believe. He said, this Mourinho that takes trophy, that this Wenger, I think he just wants to make money. I said, don't talk like that. He just said, he has built stadium, he doesn't want to make money. Player. He said, can he say this? He said, the day, he was still on the fringes until we now lost that final. My dad had always believed that it's one-way traffic. He just shifted. Now for you to imagine you fell in love because you are both Arsenal fans. Or anything whatsoever. There are people today, go back and look at your classmates. Some of the guys that were top in the class, they are not doing what you studied in school. Say, that guy is so brilliant and all that. He just changed. The fellow just called a politician. The politician is a multidimensional person. You just be surprised. So, you must therefore not be foolish. People will change. And I often tell people that many times when we're younger, we are all coming into our personalities. Imagine somebody saying, you want to know me. Do you think I know me? That's foolishness. How do you want to know me? I'm still trying to find me. You know? I remember when my dad used to tell me that, you're an introvert. I said, I looked at him. Me that used to preach. It was later that I said, this man saw something. And that's the truth. You could see me playing and all that. I time my jokes. You don't know. I would time it. 5 more minutes to play with these people. When it's 5 minutes over, you won't see me. He's like, these guys, I just go. I don't want to see you again. How about this guy likes to play? Imagine if you just say, I like this player. The way he talks, jokes. By the time I'm done with you. Say, why are you like this? Listen to yourself. You won't go. So you can't really pick people like that. Don't build on such ephemerals. They are important, but they are not the most important Passion also goes with age. They go with age. You know, I know some people that they said they wanted to be into music. Ah, music, music, music. Last time I saw them, digital marketing. Are you looking at anybody? It is what it is. Do you understand? So he went, you allow one sister and one brother to be singing, and he said, oh, yeah, right. Facing money. And that's what it is. You can't build on such ephemeral. So you must, the attraction can be physical, but it cannot be the basis of a relationship. It's too important. And, you know, no matter how much pleasure satisfies us, pleasure usually wears off. Pleasure, food, sex, entertainment. After a while, there's always that law of, what do you call it, diminishing returns. And you just, the same thing and all that. So you look at that. And I saw something by a man called Frankie. And he said, when a person can't find a deep sense of meaning, they distract themselves with pleasure. Usually people use pleasure to cover up confusion. So there was no way you build a relationship on pleasure. Pleasure, entertainment, pleasure, anything of that nature. Must know that people cover up a lack of direction with pleasure. Why do you think people use drugs? Why do you think some get drunk? Why do you think you find people indulging those things? It's just a distraction away from the real problem, an emptiness. You therefore cannot build relationships on pleasure. So you must be sensible enough to know that passion will fade away. Attraction will also fade off. It is what it is. Also, maybe I should mention this along the line. It's because relationships, marital relationships, have a very strong natural side to it that you can't say, as long as we are living in the Word of God, we're going to be fine. That is a statement that is absolute, but I do need you to be clear. Because the Word of God you are living on will also guide you to use your common sense. To succeed, for example, as a spouse, a husband or a wife, you need to understand that marriage is natural. So Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 3, it says a man should dwell with his wife, 1 Peter chapter 3, and verse 7, according to knowledge. That word is experience. So Peter expects that you should know your wife experientially and vice versa. Same thing Paul recommends in 1 Corinthians 7, when he says, you know, talking about giving the body over to the man, man to the woman, which means that there is the experiential part, which means you have to be able to communicate and talk. Scripture wants you to do that. And that will go to questions about food. I mean, I'm not talking about the bread of life. What's your favorite meal? Now, somebody has asked me this question, this was years back, that does my wife need to know how to cook my favorite meal? Well, how difficult is your own favorite meal too? So we have to ask that question. You cannot turn your wife into a chef because you want to eat your favorite meal. By the way, if you have money, now I don't subscribe to the fact that a woman should be a kitchen material, even though it's good to prepare food for your husband, it's good, it's having, it helps and all that. But you see, it depends on what you do for a living. Now, I personally like fresh things. Is that part of me you don't want to hear? I like stew that is made that day. Now, there's no woman I could have married that can do that. My mom did it. Nobody can. So, I'll find a way around it. But you cannot say, oh, if I don't do that, then maybe you are fighting. Say, what's the reason? Say, she hasn't prepared fresh food for me. Well, there's a way around it. I think you can build a major eatery. And have your wife be the manager and pay her very well. I mean, for example, if she has a PhD or if she look at her skills and they pay her in her industry about 5 million, double it. See, just to prepare my ogbono soup, I'll be giving you 10 million every month. Fresh one. I mean, if you're a woman, you take that kind of job. But don't ask me to give you fresh food. Now I'm talking to myself. If you cannot pay for my services. So you must talk about that. Antenatal, postnatal issues will occur that you won't find in scripture. And thou shalt take your baby for... No, come on. Have that kind of conversation. You won't find important information about ovulation in the Bible, but it will lead to it. Menstrual cycle is there, but almost like a sin. Orgasm, contraceptives, we're dealing with that. Sexual satisfaction, financial planning, family planning, hygiene, good dressing, forget that, that was not in the Bible at all. Making the home. They are not written in scriptures, but scriptures will guide you on how those things are important. Have those conversations. Properly speaking, I've seen couples, and I'm in counseling them, it's just that they didn't talk about it. I remember the particular couple like that, they had a heated debate, and that debate was very bad. They had even parted ways. The woman was out of the house, so I decided to go and see them, and we began to talk. Of course, this had some revelation when I was speaking to them. Then they were complaining. The husband would talk to her. I was there. And we spoke for like 3 hours. I didn't see any sense in what they were saying. Because these are just natural things. This is a boyfriend-girlfriend thing. He said this one. He said that one. In fact, they fought too well that they thought themselves they are close on the... I mean, that takes watching movies to do anyway, to tear your clothes on the road. So I now spoke to them. I was not wondering why they were heated. Because it didn't just make sense. Of course, I asked the typical questions, how's your sexual life? They went back and back. I said, okay, what about this one? Was it money? Because that one is very easy. I noticed it wasn't money. But the woman wasn't demanding. Do I think that to be qualified? When your wife asks you, she's demanding. You two will be commanding. You know, but I think the point wasn't, that by the time I saw it, because that was revelation, and we're about to leave. The thing wasn't solved. But I just believed God. So I saw what the problem was. There was a problem they never talked about. So I asked people to excuse me and I told them, I said, this is the problem. It had to do with childbearing. But one person inside him was blaming the other person, but they couldn't say it. So I said, why not just talk about it? The devil is just capitalizing on all of this. And so they spoke about it. And then, of course, that gave us room to believe God. We prayed, and of course, they had their child. So the point really was, they weren't talking about it. They just, I think somehow, because of the faith, you know, they didn't want to say, now you know, because it was looking, and they're both preachers. I said, talk about it. At least, let the devil be ashamed. So the word is primary, but we need to have conversations along those lanes. That is why I said, when you get home, don't become a cell leader or house fellowship pastor. You know, be a husband, be a wife, be a friend. Talk. Because this is no room to be carnal and say, forget about it, this is not church. Oh, look at me, I'll look at you. May God or the devil not bring such test our way. So basically, we must have those conversations around the natural. Conversations around those things should be had before marriage and during marriage. Brother Higgins recommends that before marriage, every couple should have a concern around sex, money, children. I think another part that I would add is friends. Many people don't have that discussion about friends. And in very simple survey, external influences have had a lot of say in how marriages have turned out, and also family. I have canceled this. Of course, some people may not like what I'm about to say, but I always warn couples not to bring in a third party into their affairs at all. And many times, that includes me, the pastor. The reason is, except you've exhausted every channel, you know, the key is still communication. And usually when people come to me and I have to talk to them, I still tell them to go and talk to one another. Until we talk about things, the things look so big and insurmountable. And when you have to include anyone at all, include somebody who can be neutral. Very well, your pastor, who should be neutral, you know, naturally. And, you know, get involved and all that. But that's the last stage. It shouldn't even get to that point many times. Of course, if it has to, no problem. But you should not bring in external folks. And this is very simple. I remember I told my wife, I said, look, if you tell my mom is going to support me. Anything she tells you, she's lying to you. If she sees the two of us in trouble, she will rescue me first. It is what it is. And that's the truth. Don't deceive yourself. Say, oh, boy, she's a member of the body. That's foolishness and presumption. So ensure you engage one another well. One other thing I want to talk about, and I think this is very strong on my heart to share, and this is not just about it. I'm going to come to this also when I talk about money, business, and all that. This is an aspect young people hardly see. Because you have a lot of energy, you have a lot of time in your hands, and all that. Life is in seasons. And life is in phases. It's what it is. And many times when you ask people, for example, what is some, you people have different views about the same thing, and you think that they are wrong. No, sometimes it's the phase that they are in. I'm going to show you a small video. Are you guys ready? There's a video I want you to, please make it loud enough. Something very simple except that I saw a couple of days ago, and it has a lot of sense in it. Life is in phases.
There was a man who had four sons.
Listen very well to this. This man called his four sons to make an observation. So notice what he says. Go ahead.
There was a man who had four sons. He wanted his sons to learn to not judge things too quickly. So he sent them each on a quest in turn to go and look at a pear tree that was a great distance away. The first son went in the winter, the second in the spring, the third in summer, and the youngest son in the fall. When they had all gone and come back, he called them together to describe what they had seen. The first son said that the tree was ugly, bent, and twisted. The second son said no. It was covered with green buds and full of promise. The third son disagreed. He said it was laden with blossoms that smelled so sweet and looked so beautiful. It was the most graceful thing he had ever seen. The last son disagreed with all of them. He said it was ripe and drooping with fruit, full of life and fulfillment.
Now listen.
The man then explained to his sons that they were all right, because they had each seen but one season in the tree's life. He told them that you cannot judge a tree or a person by only one season, and that the essence of who they are and the pleasure, joy, and love that come from that life can only be measured at the end, when all the seasons are up. If you give up when it's winter, you will miss the promise of your spring, the beauty of your summer, the fulfillment of your fall. Don't judge life by one difficult season. Don't let the pain of one season destroy the joy of all the rest.
Does that make sense? That's how life is. It's in seasons. The seasons don't look like each other. You can't judge anything by a seemingly tough season. You know, like the man rightly said, if you go at some point, there will be a view you have. If you come again, you know, there's another view you're going to have. And that's how relationships are. All our relationships will go through seasons. There'll be seasons like look like nothing is happening, things are getting tough. But that's really the season sometimes when we deepen our love and loyalty to one another. There'll be seasons where we're just trying to get fruit, and seasons where we're trying to continue. And know that every relationship marital relationship will pass through different seasons. Therefore, be ready to pass through it together. And that is the nature of things generally. I'm going to apply the same principle to other things as we speak. So it's presumption to think that things are going to remain the same. No, they will never. Things will never remain the same again. All the time. Except the things you choose to remain with. I choose to be with you, no matter what happens. That will be your choice. But to think that things are going to remain so jovial all the time, loving, romantic, that's not true. There could be seasons also of hardship. I know a relationship like that, a marriage actually, and I was to cancel them. The husband and wife had different situations. They were living apart in different countries, and somehow things happened, and I won't give you much of the details, but initially I judged wrongly. I said, no, the guy shouldn't have done that, the woman should have, but later on, the man obviously went through very hard and difficult situation, such that he even had problems with the law. Not that he committed a crime, but it's not in the country, so it's outside the country. So at that point, for whatever reasons, the woman started to tell people about it. And that went on and on and on. I didn't initially see anything wrong in it because I didn't pay attention to it. That's the right word. But I asked a question. Why did he marry you if you have to be the one to broadcast his challenges? You missed the basic reason why he married you. And no matter what he must have done or he could have done, this just takes the sail away from you. Every friendship is meant to be there for us in our difficult times and circumstances. Every relationship, more so a marital one, where it's assumed that your entire nakedness, frailties, weaknesses, vulnerabilities are exposed. It becomes a difficult sell if you can't weather the season. You got married at a nice time. Things were going smoothly, as it were. Things now went south. Then, unfortunately, like it always happens. But Tops always says something that, it's tough, but you have to accept it. He says, tables always turn. Many people who judge others eventually find the tables turned to them. It's just the way it is. Tables usually turn. And interestingly, what the woman eventually now did surpassed anything she had said the man did. Tables just turned. So whatever I said then, and I said, you broke a basic law. You are there to help this guy, same as the man and the woman, in the vulnerability, the weaknesses. I'm not asking you to cover people in crime. That's out of it. But that's why you are in that relationship. And that was very basic. There are different seasons. Seasons of plenty, seasons of lack, seasons of hardship and hard times. Some could be there for you. Some will say they like the fact that the man is popular, is a famous speaker or a pastor, a preacher. What if the tides turn? Those are things you must be ready for. And particularly in marriage, there's a period where you can focus on the children. For the woman, it's all about my children, my children. All this fight about my children, is until they are 18. In fact, some is earlier. When you get to a point, your children will say, you didn't even come to talk to me. They'll say, about what? Just talk to me now. Say, oh boy, you think I'm still in primary school? Do you understand? You know the same way you felt like, what is this man saying? Remember when my dad said, he was talking one day and he said, he said in one point, he said, you think I cannot flog you? I look at him and say, I know you don't drink, but like they say in my secondary school, what can far? What are you talking about? I was a teenager. I said, what is this guy? He said, I know you are not an adult, but then he was, it's just what it is. That's why he has not come home. exit children every day. That's because they are still in secondary school. If they enter university, you can't see them every day. It's when, in fact, sometimes they'll say, I can't come home for holiday. Say, I know. You must be one that gets back to you. Say, keep that narrative, man. So imagine if that is a season, then both of you will now have to stay together and look at yourself. Is this the thing I was committed to? It's a season. It will all be ready for different seasons. And do not judge. And I was going to mention this. Never mock anyone whose marriages went south. It's the most foolish thing you can do. Take it to the bank. Whatever you sow, you will reap. Don't mock anyone. Rather, learn from it. Learn from it. Learn from it. Pray for them. Thank God for them. So when it comes to marriage and relationships, we must learn the different tides and the different seasons. While premarital sex is taught in scripture as a sin, and as all believers act on that, 1 Corinthians 6:18. However, you know, if we put too much emphasis on that and forget other things, no matter how a premarital sexual status of virginity ends when you are married. You can't say I'm a virgin even though I'm married. That can happen. But now you've kept that part of your life, which is good. But there are other things that make marriages work. Apart from the chastity, which is fine, the virtue of it, there are things that you need to look at. Are there habits in your life that can destroy relationships? Are there pursuits, behavioral patterns that you need to watch? Are there habits of self-control and Christian character you need to build? Are there things you need to watch? Appetites, your rage, food. I've seen people they had good premarital relationships, but they got divorced. It's not because they didn't keep themselves before marriage, but they didn't keep themselves afterwards. The woman obviously had a problem with rage, and the man also did. But giving out flowers, going for dates, dinners covered it all. Because you try to put up your best. It's like taking a picture. You smile. Even when you are hungry. So when you take people out, you put your best attires on. But I don't see anybody who stays in the bedroom with you and starts to wear tie. You will be shocked that off makeup, this is how I am. And I can also fart. When we're younger, one of the ways you describe a very pretty girl is that she cannot fart. Whatever reason, that was it. Leisure gist. Some marriages have been disturbed by sleep. Yeah, it looks simple, right? But sleep. She oversleeps. I've heard he overeats. I've heard about snoring. That's a big one. And other things like that. So you have to watch it. And those things will require self-control. Build character. Character is more important than beauty. I hope you know. Beauty will fade. Character will mainstay your marriage. Beauty will fade. Being handsome will fade. If our beauty is part-time, go and check Miss Nigeria of 1959. You're not likely going to ask her out today. Even fashion. You know? Have you ever tried to see your parents' pictures when they were younger? Try and see it. Take a lesson from that. So, ensure that you are building on what lasts. I saw something by a man, Renaud Mokri. I really do. I'm not a subscriber of his thoughts, but this was lovely. He said, the cost of I love you should be I love you too. However, when the cost of I love you becomes my rent is due, my hair is due, tomorrow is my birthday, my data is finished, then we're no longer talking about love. This is pure prostitution. I agree. Oh, that's something. That's something to go with, right? Know that your spouse and you will disagree. But love in marriage is we disagree. Like I tell people, even when you are disagreeing, please chop. Eat food. My dad had a principle I like that. My dad never liked anyone being punished with food. He was very strong about it. My mom didn't care. My mom can keep your food somewhere while you go wash the place. My dad said, no. Food is like a king. Let the guy eat first. My dad is the kind of person that will allow you to go and eat before he flogs you. So, well, anyway, and somehow we liked him. At least you eat. My mom will flog you and you will not eat. My dad, you can eventually beg him and he'll say, just go. My mom, no way. If she is appointed to her to flog you, she will flog you. There's nothing that can change it. He says, when I come back and you sleep, she will wake you up. So you gotta eat. Disagreement does not have to create this connection. We can disagree on things. I thought I said you should do that. Sometimes it gets so heated that it brings this connection. They never bring in an issue into another one. That's how that day. Identification of unifiers. Do not do that. Don't create a typology or a motif. Stick to what just happened. Learn not to use words like you always, I mean, I'm guilty of that. And you are too. Try and watch yourself. Don't say you always. Say, yesterday you, brother, you always, only God that always does something. No matter how close you are, you can disagree on an important issue and still care for each other, love each other. It's not that difficult. There should be nothing strong enough to break your commitment to one another. I'll quote a man by the name Rick Godwin. This is by the way, but it flows into our relationships. Don't be impressed by money, power, degrees, or looks. Be impressed by generosity, integrity, humility, and kindness. Generosity, integrity, humility, and kindness. So basic things that we need in all relationships is that commitment to values. I'll repeat what I said at the onset. Don't build on ephemerals, things that can easily pass away. It's foolish to. I'll say a few things. Have marital goals. I know we have what you call couple goals. We leave that on for Instagram, okay? You hold your hands and you are in the swimming pool. That's not a goal, though. That's entertainment. No, just 2 days ago, did you see how people put out the news about Steve Harvey? And I knew it was fake news because whenever you see the source of news, you know where it's coming from. But I just watch people's reactions. Quickly, people say, I thought about it. Oh, people say, this man that is, I never heard Steve Harvey on Marriage. I didn't even used to watch him. I think I only saw him twice. I've not even heard him more than 5 minutes. He's not my kind of comedian. He's a good guy, but not my kind. But when they said it, some people say, hey, oh, even if that cancel our relationship, you know, people are very interesting. Now, what that tells you and I is that showing people you love each other really has no effect on them. Sometimes it's hatred that you get. So, don't entertain the world with your love. It's a wasted venture. As you grow older, you will discover people don't send you like that. Okay? They don't send you like that. The average human being by nature is selfish. So don't play to the gallery. In all relationships, let us watch out for snakes and scorpions in relationships. These are quotes you must have read from me. Rage, fury, all right? Or anger, sorry. Rage and fury and emotion reacting to the unexpected attitudes, responses, and actions from our friends and spouses. Watch out for anger. I have seen good marriages, relationships break up because of anger. The ability to control. I tell couples, watch one another. Now I know we teach be angry and sin not. We all know that scripture, but I guess you were still angry yesterday. But watch your husband or your wife. Don't get angry together. One of you should hold on. You know, it's better one person says sorry than two of you are sorry. So you have anger, bitterness. Bitterness is now the increased temper of anger, lust anger, where the anger now develops to hurt offenses, and usually you begin to meditate upon an offense, then it becomes bigger than forgiveness. You get very personal. Your thoughts now go wild. You use your imaginations and you start to justify how you think. You move from anger to bitterness. It graduates, just like Cain. Then you get to evil speaking and malice. Now you keep things from each other. You don't talk like before. Your marriage or your home is just very formal. Good morning, how are you? When you say darling, it's like, then woo. You know, that's how it sounds. From that point, there's a freestyle. You get to hatred, where I really don't want to see you. So, if there's an area you and I must watch in our relationships, marital relationship, it's anger. I've seen couples, and I tell them, why didn't you just talk about this immediately? And they say stupid things and stupid words to one another. Therefore, forgiveness becomes important in our relationships. Kindness. I'm kind towards you. I pray for you. Of course, some people say they are praying for their spouses, but they are more praying against them. Restoration of the way things were before. And we all need to work on that. You can't practice in marriage. This is for those who are not married. You can't, I intend to get married. I mean, I have to prove that. You can't practice in marriage what you don't value outside it. If you don't learn to forgive siblings, friends, colleagues, you will never be able to do it in the home. That's the most dangerous place. Practice forgiveness. Do you know, one way I typify anger or I explain anger is actually pride. You think that you are superior to the person. I couldn't have done that. Who is that? You know, well, put that down and wear some level of humility and get to know that your spouse is going to be naked but shouldn't be ashamed before you. And that's very important. So you must learn to keep the home the way it's supposed to be. Disagreements are going to happen. There's nothing you can do about that. But ensure you do not react to unexpected things in anger, rage, fury, and bitterness. And from that point, it's a freestyle. Watch it before it destroys you. So relationships are going to be built on our commitment through different seasons. Put this down very quickly. Through different seasons of our lives. Like the video we just watched. Don't expect every season to be the same. Don't expect your wife's body to be the same. It's not going to be the same. Don't expect the beauty to be the same. Don't expect sex to be the same. Don't expect health to be the same. Many things are going to change. But that commitment should not change. Get ready for every season of life. Also, don't forget, particularly those of us who got married in their 20s or early 30s, many times we're just discovering ourselves, getting to know who you are, you know, and trying to grapple with different situations, life, career, philosophies. Even some are just coming to light of the Word of God themselves. Therefore, must be patient with one another to ensure that through those seasons, we walk through it together. Am I making sense? So we must use sense. Don't be foolish. Don't think that faith is going to immune me from things that will happen. I must be ready. Someone rightly said, he said, look, a lasting marriage are two people that have learned to forgive one another. Let me just add this along the line, which is going to help. In every marriage, the roles are not the same. The roles are not fixed. They are usually fluid. There may be things you are doing today, I will have to do them tomorrow. We must learn to exchange roles. I told myself that never would I be the one taking care of my children. Don't be stupid. What if a man loses his job? I know a couple like that, that the man almost killed himself because he has sworn to his wife that he won't allow her to pay the school fees of the children. So the children, you know, were being homeschooled without certificates. You just go to school. And the woman was earning money, but because they made a vow that you have to be the one to always pay the school fees. And I said, this is crap. She could be the one to take care of you at some point. It's just change of roles. And that's what it is. And today, don't forget, and the way I like to tell some guys, and I learned it from someone, don't harass women. The only reason why some men look more advanced than women is many times because of marriage. Go back to when we were in school. They used to beat us well. I mean, university, the only reason was they slowed down. If they left everybody at the same level, roles have changed since, so women had more. So you should definitely know that that's an opportunity. In today's world, all those a man providing for his family depends on what he's done, did in school. I think that's just the truth. Also, I'll learn this. Learn to pick battles. Don't engage on every issue. A couple that needs to go forward must learn to look away. I'm not asking you to dodge things or sweep them under the carpet. But don't become so petty that everything becomes God to you. I saw a couple divorce because of toothpaste. She grew up in a family where they used to press the toothpaste from the bottom. If you marry me, we'll have beaten each other. I don't even know how to press it at the bottom. That's going to be a major problem. Imagine my daughter saying, Daddy, can I teach you something? I said, what is that? Learn to close the toothpaste. I said, how? She said, like this. She said, if you don't do it, ants will come in. I said, that means me and ants have used it toothpaste before your mother, before I met your mother. She said, I don't need that story. Close it like this. And this couple, the guy said, only I said this toothpaste from the guy, sorry. So one day she got so upset. The man did it from the middle. Me, I was in the boarding house. I don't care where you press toothpaste. She said, only I told you. Close up. Okay. The man, very cool guy, and all those guys that don't get angry. Let me warn you. Particularly women, and even men. Somebody has never been upset before you. It's very dangerous. Say, everything, I'm fine. Ah! Yeah? You will write a story for the two of these other weekends. The guy just kept quiet. Very cool guy. He went to work. I told Oni should not. Isn't it bad that happened? The guy just came to us, changed the locks of the house, put our bags outside. That marriage has been over since. Toothpaste. Please, what is in toothpaste? Should press it from the, oh, I said, I don't like my kitchen like this. Relax. You know, all those things, you know what I mean? Hey, you're going to meet your pastor. What's causing your marital problem? It's my kitchen. You pick your battles, man. Ah, this is too petty. Right? What you do next time, if the husband is like that, and you think that toothpaste affects your conscience, take the clothes off, put it in a bag, then put it on the body, and keep the one that is from the bottom somewhere. Just wash your teeth and go. Don't say you're fighting over toothpaste, you're fighting over, pick your battles. So I say, I don't like, when they spoke, two people were not married yet, I say, I don't like, what do you like? Hey, he's always this one, they go, I say, you are not married, you're having this already. Don't marry you. Is in this, I told them here, okay. I said, don't marry you. There's problem. This simple thing, I said, Don't try it. If you pray and go and get somebody give you a policy at WCC, it's not working. Are you here? Let's talk about money. Everybody wants money. My dad once told me this. He said, come and see something. I told him something. He said, he brought out one. He said, do you see this thing? I said, what's it? He said, what's it? I said, money. He said, everybody's looking for it. You know, it's very simple, but it's true. He said, everybody's looking for it. Don't let anybody fool you. We are both looking for it. He said, you and I can jam ourselves looking for contracts. He said, my daddy, no, I'm looking for the money. So that's the truth. I must be smart with money. Let me just say something, you know, because of our time. I put it out on Facebook, The Psychology of Money. Spending money to show people that you have money is the fastest way to lose the money and have less money. Who are you impressing? You want to go and buy iPhone X, Y? So they will know. Who told you they will be impressed? The same person, it's just like somebody saying you are doing bad deeds, people to eat on your wedding. The people you want to feed, number one, they've eaten at home. But my father told me that one, he said, look, you want me. He said, that's why I went to one party. And I sat there. Welcome, you know, welcome. Welcome, you know. Welcome. Welcome, you know. He said, they served the whole food. I said, we are sorry, oh. So from that point, if he's going for any party, he will loan his stomach. And I've adopted that principle. I'll have eaten. If you like, be coming like the second coming. I don't care. The people you are feeding, they've eaten at home. When they leave your wedding, there are four other places they are going to. You know, I went to go and kill elephants. You borrowed money. It's like people that sold their property to go abroad. And all, they sold their property. You even have property. You sell your car, you do everything, you don't go abroad. And then I say, so what happened? Don't settle. That one is for another. It's a sensitive thing because people will be feeling that, this is the word of the Lord. No, I'm just saying. Human beings are difficult to please. Don't do anything to please them. Don't do it. You know some of these, you know some of these stars, they will go and borrow a house and go and be taking pictures. I mean, is that not madness? Go and take pictures in someone's house and say, hey, Tobe Chuku. Ebenezeri. It's not your own, no. Don't use your money to entertain anybody. Is that okay? Don't let anybody say, hey, you know, come on. And God has blessed you. You're in a good church. Praise God. God will not give you a high maintenance wife or husband. You know, there are some apartments you will rent. And the service fee, service charge, is more than the rent. So I said, madam, say, you know, my medical, pedicure, my data, I usually like my data. Your service charge is too high. Oh boy. If you are married, work with your husband to have assets. Assets is that which you have that brings money. Liability is that which you have that consumes money. Car. There is no car that rains more than 1 year. That's if they don't do 2023B per version 2. They say someone is scorpion eye. They say it's snake eye. So don't live your life like that. Ask yourself today, how many assets do you have? Your phone is not an asset. Have you not seen some people iPhone X? In what's this thing? Koropwe? You know Koropwe? You have an iPhone X? Koropwe. Samsung X90 something something. Lori Okada. You are a stupid person. Your landlord has one car. My dad told me something years ago. He took me to his office in VI here at, it's now Echo Bank. That first building where you get Falmouth Bridge, used to be Africa International Bank, was a general manager there. He took me to, he was to teach me a lesson. He said, this table, whose own is it? I said, your own. He said, is it my, and did I buy it? I said, no. He said, this office, he said, your office, said, no. Is it there they asked me to go that you know it's not my table? He said, go and look for what is your own. That's why when they gave him official house at Parkview in the 90s, he didn't take it. He said, bring the money. Because if they sack you, you will park for the view. That's why I say it's a Jabuma. No! He's just smart. He said, I'd rather take my money and buy land. When I buy the land, there'll be something on it. Yeah, I'm not a property person myself, but Ben, that was what he was. So you look at yourself, don't please speak. What are you pleasing people for? You see a brother in church who just got a car, he said at the car park, then you're wrestling your spirit man. Oh, Shego. And you know, maybe somebody you want to marry, or you have no marriage, say, what's happening? Nothing. Just, is there any problem? No, you can't say. You can't say what? You can't tell a fellow believer what's really wrong with you. You're no, nothing. Your mood has changed. No. You see somebody that you were eyeing, somebody else has asked the person out, and they're already out. And you can't explain it. Someone say, why are you not feeling fine? No. This sister gave me nail. I look at what word are we even preaching in this church? Don't kill yourself. That's how somebody went to go and get a car for one alumni meeting. He was supposed to sell the car and deliver the car. So he went to come and show the car. It's not his car. On his way, he now had an accident. Nothing happened to him. He said, I would have wished it was me. So, the people he was trying to please, now we're not there. What's happening? He said, what's happening? Hey, this is your car. He said, that's the problem. It's not my car. Why did you bring it? He said, I'm trying to show up. So the people that he was helping, eventually they had to put money together. War Uber. Even the Uber, when you want to take Uber, check the cost. 8K. Just call your brother, can we go together? You know, let's go. And he said, but please, you put the money together. He goes, I thought you said to come. You know, he said, did I lap you? Is it like, is it the car? Like, oh, I'm gonna drop your 2K. Don't be stupid with money. Did you hear me?
Yes, sir.
You are going to sell anything. It's not to jack out. Sell something to invest. Is that clear? And put something that you know can generate income. I said an asset. Is that what generates income? A liability is what will take your income and give you no profit. Have money sense. Is that clear? There are books you can read on money. It's not the Bible. The Bible is the opposite. Law of money is the root of evil. That's why it's written in the Bible. They see that he's rich and he lacks everything. That's what you believe in. It will discourage you from. But the same Bible now says tell them that are rich. It recognizes them. So go and reach them. Watch your appetite. Go and be rich first. Then watch your appetite. And there are people who are rich. They won't ask you to come and sow. Right? So ensure you have money sense. Where are your assets? At an early age, you can buy land. You can have property. You can have things that are generating funds for you. And don't be the lazy person that's looking for the easy way out. You know what has happened to you? I don't want to mention anything. But you and I know what we are all saying. Put your money to work. Finally, I'll say this. Have a network that also improves your network in life. A network of friends that you can share ideas, you can boost your business thinking, you can boost your career. People that will contribute to the things you will become. Money has sense. Don't spend money foolishly. And I'll add the last video here. And what is it? When it comes to wealth. Wealth and money, it has seasons. Is the truth. Be prepared for the season. I, for example, I don't believe in saving for the rainy day. When there's real rain, it will take the money away. It doesn't mean it's wrong. I don't do it. I don't have saving culture. I don't have any saving culture. I'll take my money and do something that will bring money. But we are different. Some people it has worked for them. But always plan for your money. Is that very clear? Always plan for your money. Have sense. You are not too young to think. What did I say? What got me into business was when I was younger. I'm talking about from 27 years ago. So people would just be giving me, if I got my first land gift, a house, sorry, gift, 29 years ago. A car, 27 years or 28. I'll just be giving. They gave me, I'll give back. After giving, I'll now need what I gave. It's commitment, it's consecration, but it was that time I took care of my own financial responsibilities. So the last time I said, you know what? Let me find where to put the money. That's my journey to the business world. And I'm still there today. And that's helped me build a network of friends. People here and there that have built and are still building because I'm still learning. So guys, think well. Is that clear? Faith is not foolishness. Faith is not presumption. If you are going to increase your capital, your net worth in life, you must think. You can't stay in church and say, I believe God! As you believe God, go and act upon what you have believed. Is that clear? I trust that this has changed you, right? Think. Thinking is not the opposite of faith, right? It's not. Think. Logic is not the opposite of faith. Learn and use your money well. Use it properly. And I'm saying this again for those of us who are younger. Don't do anything to please anybody. Don't buy something, put it on Instagram. All those things are childish. When I entered the office of Aliko Dangote, and I saw the phone he was using, I put my own in my pocket. Because like these Nigerian people, Nigerian delegation, it must have been Shagari or Babangida. They went to France to plead for debt forgiveness. The people that came, that were their creditors, came in one Peugeot car, one, in their own country, in Paris. The Nigerian delegation came with Mercedes Benz, like five. They now want Babariga. They didn't forgive them. He just said, so what we are saying is, you are the richest man in Africa, the richest black man in the world. And now one phone that is shiny, put it in your back pocket. Or just trouble say, what's that? Stand to your feet. You do learn something. Begin to thank God for wisdom in your life. To use all the resources God has given you, including your common sense.